Let's move on to the final component of managing up and across, which is managing across. So this is where you're actually working with peers in your system, where they don't have necessarily authority over you. You don't necessarily have authority over them. You tend to be equals. And I'm going to speak now in systems that have maybe a little bit more complexity. And the reason is because whatever you learn at the most complex level, you can scale back down. But if you don't learn at the complex level, you will not be prepared for when you encounter it. So let me just introduce you to what's really going on, the most fundamental thing that happens when you're dealing with managing across, meaning you need and rely on other people to achieve your objectives when you don't have formal authority over them. And the first thing you have to do is pay attention to politics. Look, politics are inevitable in any system, and whether you look at politics with disdain and say, well, I'm just not into politics, I don't play politics, I'm just gonna play it straight, that is fine. The problem is that I have seen so many times, and I understand why, politics in any human system can be used very detrimentally. Now, we'll get into that in a minute. First, let me try to define politics for us a little bit, because it's a vague term. Remember the iceberg metaphor? Well, beneath the surface, that's where politics lives. And they are comprised of behaviors, things like hidden agendas, alliances that are formed, power plays, people using power in hidden ways, information control, probably one of the biggest ways politics gets played, leverage loyalties, using people's relationships to achieve certain aims, and white glove treatment. That last one, white glove treatment, really just refers to what happens when somebody punishes somebody else in a system because they had power somehow, but they do it wearing white gloves. And that means that they can remove those gloves and there's no trace of their fingerprints anywhere. And so you can kind of get a white gloves treatment. That's another political ploy and power play that happens. So all of these things together comprise politics, and they are inevitable. They exist in every single human system, whether you like it, want it, or not. And the key is to learn the game. So politics, as I said, is a lot like, as it can be very damaging, but it can also be very powerful in a good way. So it's a lot like poker. When you play poker, what you're dealing with is information control. And what you're managing is there are certain cards you want to strategically reveal. There are certain cards you want to indicate you might have, you want to sow a little seed of doubt in there, and there are other cards that you don't want anyone to know you have. Now, what I just described may sound manipulative, underhanded, detestable, frustrating, things you despise in any system, but I want you to know, I'm that guy. I was the guy who always said, I don't play politics, and I'm just going to play it straight and just tell people how I think it is, and we're not going to play games. So the problem is that the higher I got in the system and the more complex the system became, the more ineffective I became, the more impotent I became, and the more the wrong agendas, in my opinion, were getting propagated because they had bad agendas with really good skill. And I realized that it was incumbent upon me that if I were going to create really good outcomes for the organization and for people, which I had a really positive intention, I needed to learn these skills and this art that I didn't have much regard or respect for. And it's a very powerful art when you learn it. So I'm going to just give you a couple of suggestions for how to learn to play this game in any system where human dynamics exist. And when I'm talking about the negative dark side of politics, we're talking about people who use these methods to further their own aims in opposition to anybody else's goals. So often they will advance themselves and it might hurt the organization, it might hurt stakeholders, it might hurt other competitors, it doesn't matter. They're doing this for themselves. You can use politics, and in fact, if you're a person who hates politics, I want to give you these tools because you're the person who needs to use them the most. But I want to warn you, if you're a person who hates politics, and you say, oh, I don't play politics, you might want to look in the mirror because it's possible that you're playing politics and just not admitting it to yourself. And that is far more dangerous than someone who plays politics but does so knowingly, even if it's for the wrong reasons. When you are playing politics and you don't admit to yourself you are, you will not wield them with wisdom. So admit when you know you need to get a little bit political in order to achieve an objective, but I'm going to show you the technique or a couple of suggestions for how to do it well. So point one is acknowledge the presence of politics. That's the step one to using politics well, is to just know, look, there's politics in the system. Any complex human relational emotional system has politics in it, whether you want it, like it, know it or not, right? Know that, acknowledge it, name it, don't judge it. And it's in even the most apolitical systems and even mission-driven organizations that aren't profit-driven, they have politics too. So that's the first step. The second step is commit to creating a win-win. You know, really get in touch with your own belief and your own desire to say, I believe in win-wins. I believe that whatever objective I'm going to create, it's going to be a win for everybody. It's going to be a win for the organization. It's going to be a win for me. It's critical that you think about serving others, but it's also critical that you think about serving you. Here's why. If you don't have power, if you don't have agency, you can't be effective in the system. So I learned this the hard way in a system where it was very political and I didn't play politics. And what I watched happen was all of the things that I thought should happen went away and all the things I was against started getting installed and it caused major problems. And I realized the guy who was installing them just knew politics way better than me. And that's what I learned. I actually need to respect that power and work with it. But instead of using it to compete or overcome somebody, I can use it to create effective win-wins. So commit to that for yourself in any choice you're going to make to be political. Number three, pay attention to informal power and relationships, right? There are two kinds of power. Formal structural power, that which is written on the RACI chart or in the hierarchy org chart or whatever, and that which is fundamentally relational. Don't try to fight it. Don't try to judge it. Don't try to stop it. Respect the informal power and relationship grid. Begin to pay attention to who's close to who. Who seems to have strong loyalties? Who has long, deep history? And know that where there are loyalties in history, there are powerful bonds and alliances that you want to deal with delicately and consciously. And so that's a really important piece. Just notice what start to map out. What are those relationships? Where does the power really live in this system? And who am I going to need to learn to relate to in a different way so that we have the best chance at achieving our objectives that are good for everybody? Number four, notice how you tend to play your cards. Here's what I mean. Some of us in systems have a tendency to, this was my tendency, I tended to want to take my whole deck of cards, lay it all on the table and say, here's everything I've got, everybody. Here are all the cards. And I assumed everybody else was doing the same thing and I learned they were not. They were going, okay, well, that's an interesting card there. I'm going to show you this one. And then I'm going to show you this one. Yep, those are all my cards. And I'm going, great, let's get along. And then all of a sudden I realized they undermined me. The whole thing went south. And I realized, oh my gosh, that all these cards they weren't showing me. And I just didn't know. So you want to be mindful. Are you the kind of person who does that? Are you the kind of person who always plays the cards close and never shows any cards ever? Nope, not doing anything, because you may be afraid of getting taken advantage of or whatever it might be. And so somewhere in between those two is what's required to play well, which is there are certain cards I need to play at certain times, some cards I need to hold back because it's not serving them, me, or the organizational objectives. So that's the real question is, does playing this card serve everybody in the system, knowing that not everybody in the system is playing for a win-win? And that's one of the reasons why you got to hold some cards back sometimes. And I know that may sound weird for some people, but that's a really important piece. Number five, be generous and kind, but not naive. So often the best way to gain power in a system is to be really generous and wield your power very, very kindly, because people then realize that's a person I can trust with power and they'll give you more power. And as you get more power, you can begin to continue to give it away more generously. Now, be careful with this one because don't let your generosity and kindness become naivete where you get taken advantage of, which is a version of what happened to me. And that's why I would say sometimes you want to be aware you're not always playing with doves. Sometimes you'll be playing with snakes. And those snakes are not after win-wins. And so you want to be very, very careful about what kinds of information is given where, when, and how so that you aren't naively playing into somebody else's hand. And again, always in service to them. The snakes included. You're serving the snakes as well as the doves, as well as the organization, as well as yourself. And there are ways to do it, and your job is to commit to that and find a way. And then last is, if you get burned, learn from it. So look, in any human system that has politics, somewhere along the way, no matter how good you are at it, no matter how good you get at the art form, you will get played. You might get burned. Someone might undermine you, hurt you, injure you, do something against you, using a political power play, a hidden agenda, a leveraged loyalty, a white glove technique, whatever, you might get hit. And if that happens, don't take it too personally. I know that's a hard thing to swallow, but don't take it personally. Just learn from it. Remember, it's really just a game. You're just playing a game, and the more you have game, the more you can get the things accomplished in service to people and the organization. And so be smart about the politics of managing a complex system where you have peers, where everybody's jockeying for position and power, where there's envy and there's resentments and there's all these things that are going on. Your job is to play that really smart and to keep learning. So if you get burned, just say, oh, I got burned that time. I learned that lesson. I'm going to take that and learn how to play better next time. Okay, that is the bonus training on how to manage up and across. Obviously, there's a lot more we could get into, but I just wanted to give you this little taster as a bonus to help you get smart about how you're managing up and across in your current situation. And also, if you manage volunteers, one thing I just want to state about volunteers before I close, very important. When you're dealing with volunteers, remember this one thing. Because they're not being paid to do their work, the one thing that you want to leverage for a volunteer is how much life they feel. The reason they're volunteering is because they want to do what they want to do, not because something needs to get done. And so if something isn't getting done and you rely on volunteers to get that thing done, you have to find volunteers that have passion and heart around it. And if you don't, they're not going to execute. And if you can't find volunteers to do the things that need to get done, then you have to pay for it. And that's just a simple rule, is do we have people feeling alive by the tasks in front of them? And is there anything I can do to link the concrete task in front of them to this overall purpose so that they feel more alive? And if I've done all that and they still aren't feeling alive, they're just in the wrong spot. They just shouldn't be volunteering in that role. And if you can't find somebody else, then look for ways to try to fund paying for that role, or don't have that role. And that's how you do it in volunteer systems. That's just kind of a little footnote in this whole managing up and across training. I hope you enjoyed it, and take a crack at using some of these things and go out and serve your people, your organization, and the world.